Satan's masterpiece of deception. Since the beginning, Christ and Satan, truth and error, have been waging a war for the control of men's minds. Falsehood, lies, fraud, delusion, and deception are the means that often bring quick and startling success. The way of truth, on the other hand, is usually slower in reaching its goal, but ultimately it triumphs. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the way, the truth, and the life. Satan is the embodiment of lies, error, sin, and death. Jesus Christ is longing to become the center of all human life. And through his power and his principles, he works in and through men. Satan also makes tremendous efforts to control men, and he is anxious to influence society and nations. God has given the right to every human being to decide whom he will serve. God or Satan, truth or error, the way of holiness or the way of sin, life or death. Every human being chooses who he makes the center of his life. Satan succeeded in becoming the center of the antediluvian world and led the people into total destruction. Satan succeeded in becoming the inspirator of paganism, which had devastating results in the minds and bodies of the multitudes. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. 1 Corinthians 10:20. Satan was successful in deceiving the Jewish nation to such an extent that they did not recognize the Messiah. Satan had become their mental tutor. The Lord said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." John 8:44. Satan corrupted the faith of multitudes of Christians too. Unknowingly, they have given him a central place and are blindly following his principles and plans. The Bible says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Revelation 12:9. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Revelation 13:8. "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird." Revelation 18:2. Today, as humanity is faced with the cataclysmic event of Christ's return, Satan is making a desperate attempt to become the undisputed dictator of human affairs. If he would succeed, he could say to the returning Christ, "You have nothing to seek here. Everyone has chosen me. They love me more than you. This is my world. None belong to you." A And in order to be able to say this, Satan has prepared a masterful plan with which he is ensnaring all men and women, intellectuals as well as those of less discernment. One of God's principal gifts to man is the freedom to choose and make decisions. This freedom demands from men a great sense of responsibility. Man is accountable to God for his decisions. God not only gave men life, but also provided him with the principles of life, the best principles. Obedience to him means life. Disobedience means certain death. However, man is free to reject God and his principles of life. After man forfeited his life and freedom in the Garden of Eden through rebellion against God, he became the slave of his new master, Satan. He had become subject to sin and death. Man lost his free will. His moral powers were perverted. And as a consequence, his poor judgment led him always into poor decisions. Jesus Christ conquered Satan on the cross of Calvary. Through Christ's death and resurrection, he won back the right for man to exercise his free will. Men could again choose between God and Satan. Only those who desire Jesus Christ to liberate them from the power of Satan regain their free will. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." John 8, 34, 32, and 36. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. It is tragic to see so many people refusing the opportunity Christ offers them to tear away from Satan and to tear away from sin. They deliberately choose Satan again as their master today. Now, Satan has many means to achieve his ends. He aspires for rulership of the world. Even at the time of Jesus, he claimed that this world belonged to him. The Bible says, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." Luke 4, 5 and 6. Today, Satan is using spiritism, mind control, even an ecumenical power structure, various godless ideologies as his chief devices. Every human being is led by a spiritual power. No one lives in a spiritual vacuum. The Bible says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he says, "I will return unto my house whence I came out." And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in, and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Luke 11:23-26. Friends, either God or the anti-God is every man's master. Every man has a close spiritual union with the master to whom he surrendered his life. And this surrender decides his destiny. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, approaches man openly and directly and asks him for a decision to follow him and to follow his life plan. The Lord says, "Receive me." John 1:12. But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Lord says, "Be born again by the Holy Spirit." John 3:5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Thirdly, Jesus says, "Abide in me now that you have found me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And John 17:21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The Holy Spirit is Christ's divine agent on earth. The Bible says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Romans 8:9. Our old man must die that Christ may live in us. The Bible says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 2:20. Yes, Christ, the Godhead, lives in us. The Bible says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Colossians 1:27. Now Satan, the anti-God, desires the same allegiance from man. But he does not use openness, the direct approach. No, he uses deceitfulness, cunning devices to achieve his purpose. He never approaches man openly, never reveals his true nature of a fallen angel. He never tells you that he is the great enemy of God. On the contrary, he gives the appearance of being Christ himself or an angel of light. He wants to be known as a great benefactor of humanity. He presents truth skillfully mingled with error. Few men and women are able to unmask Satan and discern his evil devices. But the Bible plainly warns us of Satan's masterful deceptions. It tells us that false Christs will appear. The Bible says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose ends shall be according to their works. I just read from 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. The Bible warns us that false gospels will be preached. Let me read to you from Galatians. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Galatians 1:8. We are told in the Holy Scriptures that evil persons will do great miracles. Revelation 13:13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Persons possessed by demons are called demoniacs, or demons, or mediums. And I'll give you a few examples. The serpent who talked to Eve was Satan's first medium. The Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You find that in the very beginning of Genesis. The woman of Endor was a medium. The Bible says, then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit at Endor. 1 Samuel 28:7. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And today, New York City and all the big cities in the world are filled with Satan's servants, mediums. Never, never consult them. The two men at Gadara, they were mediums. The Bible says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. For he said to him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Mark 5:2-9. Simon the sorcerer was a medium too. The Bible says, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God, and to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them of sorceries. Acts 8:9-11. Elymas was a medium, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Acts 13:8-11. Mary Magdalene, before her conversion, was a medium. We read in Mark 16:9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Some even wrongly accused Jesus as being a medium. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Matthew 12:24. Friends, the Bible prophesies that spiritism will become a universal practice in the time of the end, and we are in it right now. Let me read you from the Bible. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall deny and fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4:1. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Revelation 18:2. Yes, today every human being must decide which master shall control his faculties. Romans 6:16 says, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. The Holy Spirit is infinitely more powerful than the spirit of Satan. 1 John 4:4 says, Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yes, since creation, a great battle has been waging between Christ and Satan over the control of men's minds. He who controls your mind possesses you. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ draws men and women to himself through his great love and goodness, as demonstrated by his life and death. He woos us to him by his teachings, with the gospel news. With these he tries to influence men and woo them to himself. Christ never, never applies force to win a man's love. Oh, friend, keep your heart with all diligence. That's what the Bible says. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Friend, give him your heart. In Proverbs 23:26, God says, My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Friend, submit every thought to Christ's control. The Bible says, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. The eyes of your understandings will then be enlightened. The Bible says, The eyes of your understandings will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. Ephesians 1:18. God shines, radiates in our hearts. We read that in 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Yes, 2 Corinthians 4:6 in the Goodspeed translation. We read in Galatians 4:19, Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. Ephesians 4:23. Whatsoever things are pure, think of those things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. Yes, friend, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and deceit. Listen to what it says in Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Satan uses any method and any agency to subdue and control the human mind. He uses temptation, deceit, falsehood, coercion. He makes every attempt to use the modern means of mass communication to achieve his evil purposes. He uses radio, television, the press, theaters, movies. He can even use the guise of medicine to gain control over our minds. He uses hypnosis, narcotics, etc. Or he uses fashion to great advantage, and through it corrupts morals of countless people. He also gains a foothold in our universities, where intellectuals who have made shipwreck of their faith lead their students into godless philosophies. Satan blinds the minds of those who do not believe. The Bible says, "In whom the God of this world," that's Satan, "has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." 2 Corinthians 4:4. How many people have been misled by false interpretations of the Bible? Revelation 17:2 says, "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." And this fornication points to false interpretations of the scriptures, false doctrines. Revelation 14:8 says, "And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Many Christian churches have deceived millions with their false doctrines. Satan captivates the minds of innumerable people with lies and false teachings. The Bible says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they may all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-12. Many heathens are worshiping Satan. The Bible says, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." 1 Corinthians 10, 20-21. Israel's leaders were led astray by Satan in the time of Jesus. "I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." John 8:38-44. The majority of Christendom has also succumbed to Satan's tactics and strategy. The Bible says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Revelation 13:3-8. "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, in the cage of every unclean and hateful bird, Revelation 18:2. Spiritism invading the Christian churches. Since the time of the Protestant Reformation, Satan has flooded the world with countless false ideologies, countless theories which are wrong, false biblical interpretations, philosophies, to captivate Christendom and the world. Some ideologies have a good purpose and can generate much enthusiasm among people. However, they are counterfeit gospels, devoid of God and His principles. For example, such are materialism, humanism, modernism, liberalism, the theory of evolution, such as the social gospel, socialism, communism, etc. All of these do inspire the imagination of educated people. Some of the leading minds today embrace these ideologies and bring destruction to the soul and the masses of all the people that follow them. The reason that Israel rejected the lowly carpenter and preacher of Nazareth was because Satan had successfully corrupted the minds of their leaders and teachers. Instead of a suffering servant, they expected the national hero, a political liberator, as the Messiah. Satan had carefully prepared the generation that saw Jesus Christ and so conditioned their minds that they were bound to commit a tragic mistake. Today, Satan is perpetrating the same delusion, not only on a small scale in a small nation, but on a worldwide basis. And again, he is successful. Christendom has been paganized and is utterly unprepared for the most startling event of history, the return of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's what we read in the book of Romans. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That you find in Ephesians. Ephesians 2:3. Through scientific methods, and much sociological, psychological, and philosophical data, Satan tries to influence and control the minds of men today. Men's minds are either controlled by God or Satan. Men do not live in a spiritual vacuum, I repeat. God only controls our minds when we willfully surrender them to Him. Satan, on the other hand, forces His way into our minds. How? To deceit. And by weakening of the will. Until finally man consents to be led by Him. Minds that have a constant communion with the infinite mind of God are elevated, while contact with the mind of Satan degenerates the whole being. God does not permit that the man's mind is controlled by another man. God does not want us to force our decisions, our judgments, our opinions, our thoughts on others. Our individuality must never merge into that of another man. The Bible says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Romans 8:6. There is a unity in Christendom for which Jesus Christ worked and prayed. We read in the Bible, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them must I also bring, and they will hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." John 10:16. that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That was Christ's prayer in John 17:21-23. But this is not an organizational or religious political unity, but a spiritual and doctrinal oneness brought about by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ the Lord is its center. It is the kind of unity Jesus has with his Father and with his Holy Spirit. They agree on all things. That's the unity he's looking for in Christendom. Yes, keep the unity of the Spirit. The Bible says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Ephesians 4:3-6. Speak the same things, yes, by all means. The Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. But that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1:10. If any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8:9. And this is Christ's church. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 2:19-22. You and I have to look for this unity, but how? Through his word. Only the word of God is truth. Only that truth provides the real, genuine unity among us. The Bible says, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest thou me them me. And they have kept thy word. John 17:17. Believers are not of the world. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John 17:14. The plan of the ecumenists, the ecumenicals, calls for an amalgamation of churches into one organization. It is explained as a union based on a number of basic Christian tenets, while dropping all those doctrines on which churches differ. The ultimate goal is a world organization of churches with authority to guide and shape the thinking of nations and individuals. Its power will influence legislation and government. The Bible says, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save that he had this mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13:14-17. And there came out of the seven, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made with to drink with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, her false teachings, misleading millions. In the name of unity. Revelation 17:1-5. The Bible goes on and says, And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Those have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords, the King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Revelation 17:12-14. And he crieth mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Yes, Christendom has fallen away from Christ and his teaching, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Friends, all these Bible texts indicate that Christendom will unite with the political powers of the different nations. Such an organization will be led by demonic powers. The churches will be more concerned with secular matters than with spreading the gospel of salvation. The super church will coerce the conscience of men and women and oppose Christ and his followers. For generations, Satan has been conditioning the human mind for this last assault. He wants to control your and my mind and wills. He wants to own the whole human family. His goal is nothing less than a world empire, a world church, and himself as its head. He will personally appear on the world scene and claim to be Christ. That's the masterpiece of his delusion. And the majority of mankind will acclaim Satan as Christ. His aim is to prove to the whole universe that mankind has chosen him, his principles, and his way of life, voluntarily. He will claim that no one on earth loves and obeys God, and that God, therefore, has no right to reign here. Yes, friends, I'm preparing you for the greatest masterpiece of Satan, his personal appearance in New York, in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in London, all over the world, on television,
and the whole world will bow down and say, this is Jesus Christ. But the true Jesus has reserved for himself a remnant. A people faithful to him who will recognize the false Christ, will not bow their knees to him. Will Jesus be able to prove to Satan and to the universe that he still has a people on earth who have chosen him voluntarily as their Lord and Savior and love him with all their heart? Yes, he certainly will be able. Now and up to the last day of world history, there is a remnant on earth who are faithful to Jesus and all of his teachings, regardless of the cost. They're pointed out in Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Not even Satan is able to entice them to forsake Christ or one of his commandments. The Bible says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Matthew 24:24. This little remnant is made up of every nationality, every race, and every creed. They all happily unite in Christ's last church on earth, called Laodicea, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The Bible says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Revelation 18:4. This last remnant is the result of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. It's the result of his infinite love. He has not suffered and died in vain. The Bible says, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Isaiah 66:5. Those who are spiritually blind now say, where is the return of the Lord? This here, the one among us, namely Satan, in disguise. He is our God. But the real Christ, the Bible says, shall appear to our joy, and we shall not be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that renders recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Says the Lord. Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Says the Lord, rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. Isaiah 66:6-10, in Moffat translation. The Lord says, I will call my remnant out from all denominations, from all religions of the world, and a nation, meaning a remnant, will be born at once. And they will not bow their knee before the false Christ, Satan, who will appear personally on the world stage. Oh, they will look up to heaven and wait until heaven's open and the real Christ will return in glory. You say, that's mind-blowing. I never heard that Satan will appear personally in this world, that we can hear him and see him on television and in great auditoriums, that he will speak to thousands like Adolf Hitler, mesmerize the masses. But tell me, Emilio, how do I know what is Laodicea? How do I recognize this last church, this last remnant, that will not bow their knee to the ecumenical movement and to the personal appearance of Satan. All right, friend, I help you, because I also was once out there. I also promoted the ecumenical movement. And then I found the truth through the Scripture. I found this last church. I found the signs of identification of Laodicea, which fortunately are in the Bible. You and I don't have to look to men. We can look to the Scripture for a clear description of Laodicea as it stands today, facing this masterpiece of Satan's deception. Let me tell you now, what are the identification signs of Laodicea?
First of all, Laodicea, according to the Bible, exists in the seventh church time period. From Revelation 2 and 3, you know that the church period is divided into seven areas, eras. The first is Ephesus, from Christ to AD 100, followed by Smyrna, from 100 to 321 AD, followed by Pergamos, from 321 to 538 AD, followed by Thyatira, 538 to 1517 AD, followed by Sardis, 1517 to 1798, and then by Philadelphia, from 1798 to 1844, and in 1844, the last church of the Lord Jesus was established, called Laodicea. Now, Laodicea did not invent the gospel. It inherited it from the previous six church periods. Secondly, Laodicea proclaims the three angels' messages of Revelation 14, 6 to 12. When you read this, you will see that its component parts are the following. These angels preach, first of all, the everlasting gospel to all nations, that the hour of God's judgment has arrived, is come. That means the investigative judgment of God, which Daniel prophesied, began in 1844, according to Daniel's own prophecy of 2,300 years. The angels admonishes men to worship God that made heaven and the earth, which is an indication that we should remember Him by keeping the seventh day Sabbath commandment, because it points to Jesus Christ as the Creator. One of the angels also says that Babylon is fallen. That means that the Christian churches have fallen away from Christ and His teachings. The angel also mentions that if any man worships the beast, his image, he will receive a mark. The wrath of God will be on him. And this, of course, points to what we have studied today, the ecumenical movement, the world church, church and state united, which later on will bring in Sunday legislation. Fourthly, Laodicea teaches all Ten Commandments, and its members have the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14, 12. That's an inward seal. I would point to Isaiah 58, 12 to 14. There we read that the Sabbath commandment, the fourth commandment of the Decalogue, will be given the same importance as it had when Jesus was on earth. It will be put back in its rightful place, because the Sabbath was buried during the centuries of the Inquisition, the Dark Ages. And now, the Laodicea will bring about a reawakening, a reformation, putting the Sabbath back in its rightful place. And that Sabbath is the outward seal of God. Number five, Laodicea is a minority which is persecuted. Revelation 14, 12 and Luke 12, 32. 6. Laodicea is a worldwide movement preaching the gospel to all nations. Matthew 24:14. 7. The three angels' messages began being proclaimed at the same time as judgment began in heaven. Revelation 14:7. 8. Laodicea proclaims the righteousness of Christ as the only basis for salvation. Revelation 18:1 and Revelation 3:18. 9. Laodicea proclaims the appearance of the false Christ, Satan, 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, and the appearance of the real Christ, Revelation 14:14-16. 10. Laodicea possesses the spirit of prophecy as a guide, a light in the darkest hour of world history, so that the people of God will not lose their way. Revelation 12:17 and Revelation 19:10. Furthermore, the Lord Jesus Christ seven times in Revelation 2 and 3 says, "If you have ears to hear, let him listen to what the Spirit says to the churches." In other words, Jesus says, everything I said is recorded in the Bible. Now listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you here at the end time through the spirit of prophecy. 11. Laodicea will gather all Old Testament and New Testament doctrines, the lost ones, and will illuminate the world for the last time. These lost doctrines I refer to are, for instance, the investigative judgment, which began in 1844, the Sabbath, the teaching of the state of the dead, the spirit of prophecy, health reform, prophetic interpretation. 12. Laodicea calls Christians to come out from fallen Christian churches called Babylon. Revelation 18:2-4. Before the return of Christ, there will be two cities standing in opposition to each other as symbols of the great controversy between the Church of Christ and the Church of Satan. And the two cities are Laodicea and Babylon. You will find the fate of Babylon described in Revelation 14:8. The fall of Babylon is pointed out in Revelation 18:2-8. The inner crisis of Laodicea, Revelation 3:15-20. The spiritual renewal, sealing of Laodicea, Revelation 7:1-17. The struggle of Laodicea with Babylon, Revelation 13:1-17. And finally, the victory of Laodicea over Babylon, Revelation 15:2-3. Babylon stands for the religion of self-righteousness. Laodicea stands for the religion of Christ's righteousness. 13. Laodicea will be sifted. It needs to be purified, Revelation 3:15-20. The genuine members of Laodicea will remain inside the church, while the false one will be sifted out by the Lord Jesus, while their place will be taken by a much larger group from other churches and religions. There are born again, beautiful Christians in all denominations, in all Christian denominations. And the Lord, in the end time, if we are the last generation, will call them all out, so that they will join themselves to his last remnant church called Laodicea, which I believe, after years of study, is the Seventh-day Adventist church. And when these millions will come out of all Christian denominations, this will be the last exit from mankind to fulfill the promise of Jesus in John 10:16, where he says that he has other sheep that he wants to call who will follow him, so that there will be one fold and one shepherd. And Laodicea, the Seventh Adventist church, will serve at that time as a frame, a fold for all genuine believers. It will be the very ark of God. Friend, after many years of study, I have come to the conclusion that the Puritans were used by the Lord Jesus at the beginning of the history of the United States to establish our country on the solid spiritual foundation. I'm also convinced that the Seventh Adventist Church, or Laodicea, was also called by the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of U.S. history to save from the wreck those who are still basically sound, those who still love God, love Jesus, are willing to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, are saved by the gift of Christ's imputed righteousness. And because they have been saved, they will keep His commandments and teachings and principles by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And I believe that when the world clock struck 1844, judgment began in heaven, according to Daniel chapter 7 and 8 and Revelation 14. And Laodicea, the last church of Christ, stood on earth ready to proclaim the last message of mercy to mankind. The world is being prepared now to hear this gospel in the fullest, most complete form it was ever presented in the history of mankind. And part of this revolutionary message, and I believe this church is a reformation, just like the Protestant Reformation of the 15th century. One of the messages is that we should all be aware of the fact that Satan will appear personally on the world stage. It will be his masterpiece of deception. And that only those who are in Christ and are familiar with his Scriptures, with the Holy Scriptures, will be protected from being deceived. I pray that you will be among those who will be part of Laodicea, who will not be deceived by Satan when he will appear personally on the world stage. Dear friends, I admonish you to search the Scripture as you never searched it before, to pray as you never prayed before, and to investigate whether your life is in accordance with the principles of Jesus Christ. I pray that you will be with those who will stand on the sea of glass before the throne of God, praising Him, thanking Him that He has led you through the masterpiece of Satan's deception victoriously, that you recognized that Satan is the false Christ, and that you were ready when the true Christ appeared in heaven. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've given us a clear, bright light, the Holy Scriptures, that will lead us through any darkness, any crisis brought about by Satan. Do not allow anyone who has listened to this message to bow down before the false Christ when he will appear shortly on the stage of this world, claiming to be Christ. Help each one of us to wait until heaven opens. And there you will stand. Your feet will never touch this earth. You will be seen by all as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as you're surrounded by a cloud of angels. And that you will then resurrect the dead in Christ first. And then we who are alive will be changed in a split second and join the resurrected dead. And with them together, we will travel through space to heaven. What a day this will be. Help us to prepare for that hour by living clean lives, honest lives, by loving our neighbors ourselves more, by loving our neighbor the way you loved us, being willing to lay down our lives for them. Thank you that you will accomplish all this in us because we are too weak to do it ourselves. Hold on to us, Lord, because we are too weak to hold on to you. Have mercy on us, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.